You've asked me, what is the proper criterion to, what is the criteria to determine proper action in any given situation? Well, Swami Bhuvamano is describing the responses and behavior of a devotee in particular circumstances. So he describes this essential principle. He says, in 4th canto, chapter 11, verse 13, the Lord Krishna is very satisfied with his devotee when the devotee greets other people with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality. In other words, one should act only to please Krishna. So this is in relation to the Dhruva. Swami Bhuvamano asked Dhruva to decide whether or not his actions were pleasing to the Lord, because Dhruva was attacked by all these yakshas when he was doing austerities, and he fought them and destroyed all of them. Was he treating the yakshas with tolerance, mercy, friendship, and equality? So Madhyamadikari should be like this. We should try, we should develop, of course we may not be there, but we should try to see that every living entity is part of Krishna. They simply, the different living entities have different forms of dress. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihashni shani chaiva sapake cha pandita samadarshana. Krishna tells in the Gita that a samadarshan, a pandit, should have equal vision. He sees all living entities equally. Krishna is in everyone's heart. Everyone's a jiva, atma, paramatma, Bhagavan and jivatma. But they have different dresses. Vidyavanaya sampane. Maybe elephant body, maybe Brahman's body, Chandala's body, or dog's body, but inside is atma, paramatma. Person should act in such a way that Krishna is satisfied by his activity, not that we ourselves become satisfied. Of course, we should not separately seek our satisfaction in our devotional endeavors. Our primary focus, our only focus, should be the happiness and pleasure of Krishna. Because the fact is, when Krishna is satisfied, the devotee automatically becomes satisfied. This is the secret of the process of bhakti yoga. Everyone in the material world is seeking for satisfaction for themselves. Self-centered activities. Me-centered. Everyone is acting for their own happiness and pleasure. And thinking that this is the way. To take means to gain pleasure. To give means to lose. But the devotee's formula is, to give means to gain Krishna's happiness. To give and act for Krishna's happiness means that we gain our own pleasure automatically. So the devotee's formula is give to gain, and the non-devotee's formula is take to gain. They take everything and anything from anyone and everyone, but still they're not happy, still they're not satisfied and not joyful. But the devotees want to give. They don't want to take anything. They want to give Krishna to everyone, everywhere. And this is the secret of our happiness, secret of our pleasure, as that we're always giving Krishna as prasadam, as the holy name, as philosophy, as his mercy, as his guidance, as his instructions, as his love, as his peace. We're just giving, and automatically Krishna is pleased by our giving him and distributing of him. And he gives us pleasure in return. We give and gain. And the materialist takes and exploits in order to gain, but he takes and loses. We give and gain. He takes and loses and dies and repeatedly takes birth. We give and gain eternal life in the spiritual world. So what is the definition of divine consciousness? What is divine consciousness? Divine consciousness means to meditate consistently on pleasing Krishna and then act accordingly. This is the definition of selfless, surrendered divine consciousness. What happens if one thinks like this and acts like this? According to Manu, Swayambhuva Manu in the fourth canto, if one actually satisfies Krishna, he becomes liberated. And when one is liberated, he attains unlimited spiritual bliss. So the goal is the same for the materialist and for the devotee. The materialist takes to try to gain happiness, and we give and automatically gain happiness because we give Krishna and give pleasure to Krishna, and he returns that gift by giving us the gift of peace and happiness and eternal life. Whatever is actually happening in this world is not directly the Lord's will nor his doing. The Lord did not kill Dhruva's brother, which is, he thought, he is aloof and only impartially sanctions a continuous flow of karma, the material actions and their reactions through the time factor. Although Krishna is the ultimate sanctioning agent and is the ultimate cause of everything, everyone is suffering and enjoying only according to his or her own individual karma. One rabbi, Jewish priest, he wrote a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And he said it must be God's fault. God is not paying attention to his creation. He set it in motion and now he's off playing or sleeping somewhere, irresponsible to his creation. But still, he's the cause. What he doesn't understand is, revered rabbi didn't understand the basic law of karma. Yes, everything's happening ultimately by the will of God, but we're initiating his will to move in a certain way. If we act in a proper way, we get proper reaction. If we act in a sinful, improper way, we get suffering as a response or reaction. The Lord only awards reactions through the time factor. Therefore, the conclusion is that everyone suffers and enjoys according to his own deeds. There's a verse in Bhagavatam how people speculate about the cause of suffering. Some people say, oh, okay, suffering is a result of karma. Other people say, oh, it's nature. Others say, oh, it's a time factor. It's bad time for me now. Others say, it's fate. It's just my fate. And still others say that suffering is caused by desire. And then somebody challenges, how can you say that God or Krishna is not responsible? Because he's created this system. He created a material world in which so much suffering exists. So therefore, he created the world and we're in it and we're suffering in his world which he created. Therefore, Krishna or God is ultimately responsible for everyone's suffering. So can Krishna or God be accused of cruelty? And Prabhupada says that the material world, he compares it to a state, like state in which maintaining law and order is in the hands of the police, the state police. After setting up the laws of the material world, Krishna, like a king, remains neutral. Individuals in that state or that kingdom or country or in this universe or this world of God, we, the individuals, we can then, with our free will, decide whether to maintain or follow the law or break it. Those who misuse their free will and break the law, they go to jail, they go to prison. Although a prisoner may blame his suffering on the king who set up the laws of that state, this is wrong speaking. The criminal has caused his own suffering by breaking the laws of the state. The basic cause of this suffering is wrong identity, thinking we're the enjoyer. Hankara. This is the foundation of material existence. What is ahankara? Ahankara is the soul's false, selfish, self-absorbed self-conception, seeing himself as independent of God, independent of Krishna. under the spell of ahankar, false ego, wrong identity. People act for their own pleasure, and then they get reactions. Then they become entangled in matter. Thus they perpetuate their material existence. Prabhupada explains that because of karma, we get different bodies in the material world. According actions performed as surrender are enacted for Krishna's pleasure. They are based on our real identity, the soul's real ego, its actual identity. For the nature of every soul, every living entity in this material world, his swabhav, his nature, is to serve God. Any action which is impelled by a motivation or wish or desire other than to please Krishna, this is unnatural and impelled or propelled by false ego. And these unnatural false actions bind the soul to illusion. So this is the art how to the criterion to determine proper action. Simple. Always think that Krishna's behind everything and always try to act for the pleasure of Krishna. And then we'll get free from the cycle of karma.